Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a no fact. Reverse.
No, that's going in. That's going
back
in.
Enough. Start it again. Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a no facts, all feelings wrestling podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Anne.
And I'm
Leah. Hey, what did everybody achieve this week?
Oh my God. What a question.
Wow.
It's kind of a loaded question because I have an answer.
Oh my God, please tell us.
Two full seasons of the X-Files.
Well done. Well done.
Two full seasons.
It's November.
I'm out here. I'm doing my job. I'm doing a writing challenge, and I'm watching two full seasons of The X-Files, baby.
This is about as concerning as when I burned through that many seasons of House in just as short a time.
That's true. Did you turn around from the beginning when you hit the end of House? I feel like maybe you did.
And I sure did.
You did what?
I didn't make it through a second time, but I would say I got into the third season.
Sometimes you got to do it, you know?
We're all just out here. We're just looking for stuff to fill the void. And The X-Files really does that. Sometimes they have these episodes that'll be like pretty fun, but they'll still play a lot of spooky X-Files music. That's the only thing I really, really don't like. Like, I'm like, this is a fun episode. I need to hear some light, sprightly instrumentalization in the background, just saying to me, like, you're not going to get heard today. It's all good. It's all good.
Sometimes
here.
The music I have noticed is a little heavy-handed.
It is.
In retrospect, and I know the name of the musician because that's the kind of weird teen I was. So it's Mark Snow did the music for the X-Files, and every time he does like a little piano tinkle that's a little over the top, I'm like, Mark, dial it back.
He is heavy-handed for sure. Like, sometimes you can sense him being like, I'm worried they may have forgotten that really dark conspiracies are really at work here. So I've got to put in a little music to remind them the stakes are high. And to Mark, I say, sometimes for me, the stakes are not. The stakes have to stay low sometimes. So that's what I achieved. What about you guys?
Oh, I thought that was just a vehicle for experts. I still haven't come up with this.
I thought you guys might want to weigh in. I'm trying to give you the option. You know, you can just say, like, I got some good sleep, or
I wish I gotten some good sleep.
I organized a gift exchange for our friends.
Yes, you did.
That's true.
That exchange, I think, is bringing us all closer together already because we're learning about each other. We're learning and exploring each other. So,
are we
each other's minds? We're exploring each other's
That's where we're going
minds.
Now. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow, this gift exchange is
there's
more
a lot
than
of writing on
for.
It. Actually.
It's the gift of our bodies. We have to cut this whole episode and start over.
Just go.
I think this has all been. To be honest, I think it's all been pretty good.
Our recipients are going to go out to the porch. There's going to be a big box there. It's going to be us inside. Our bodies.
And right that we're doing some kind of Santa baby routine, maybe.
Just wearing a Santa hat. Yep.
But like the one from like Community? Yeah.
Oopsie doopsie doop doop sex. That's... Okay, well, we're off to a great start, I think.
Yeah.
It's been an interesting week in the world of wrestling. I think we're going to have some great conversations tonight. I think it's been a little confusing. Your girls are confused because we are out of sync with the community. Because last week, we were like, okay, this is fine. But this week, we put our feet down.
I really, truly feel like maybe I'm colorblind. Like, everyone else is like, this was so much better. And I'm like, I don't see anything different, really.
No, to me, it was worse. Like, there was a lot
of
that.
It was worse.
To the point that I was actually feeling kind of grim about coming on to this podcast. And just because I was like, I'm going to be a bitch. I don't know how to stop myself. I'm going to be such a bitch. And then we got the sweetest email from a listener that put me in a really good mood. It happened, like, the listener sent it, like, what? 15 minutes before we started recording.
I don't know. It was like you rushed to get it to us because I think you said the girls need this.
We need this. We need this.
Yeah, so, if anyone wants to pep us up, like a Thursday around 7:45 Eastern time, we're really ready to receive it. Really, it's so nice.
Use it. But yeah, I don't know. I'm just like, I was in a good mood last week and the rest of the internet was in a foul mood. And this
Beyond foul, I'm
not thrilled. A lot of the internet seems to be like, we're so back.
Yeah.
We're so back. I said,
interesting.
We have never been less back. But you know what? We're just going to have a conversation. We are going to have a dialogue. We're going to make goofs. And we're going to just get her done. Because that's all you can do. You just got to get her done. Okay? So everybody, just stretch. Get your stretches in. Crack your back. We're starting with Mommy's Little Elite. And I seem to have written a lot here that has nothing to do with them, so we'll just skip all of that. And we will say that Swerve Strickland fought A.R. Fox on Collision and won. Oh, well, we're not quite starting with the Elite because we do have to discuss this. I want to preface this and just say most of us have watched quite a few episodes of Collision over the past month. Shockingly. I mean, I surprise myself every time I tune in.
Yeah, I know. We've become colliders, kind of. I feel like I've watched like 3 out of 4 episodes.
It's weirdly, like, it's just been sinking in. It's been syncing up with my hermit schedule. So, like, all of a sudden I've been home on Saturday nights and being like, yeah, all right, I'll flip it on.
Well, that's... now. I mean, that's who you are after you've been watching wrestling for 3 years. Suddenly it's like, you do just put it on if it's there, it turns out. So that's fine. None of us watched this past week, right?
No.
Great. So I went in to just read a little about what had happened, and I didn't read a single thing. I didn't read one single thing that made sense to me, but I will go through it for us. So Swerve Strickland fought A.R. Fox, won. Afterwards, the Gates of Agony came out to beat up A.R. Fox. FTR came out for the save, to save A.R. Fox. Why?
Are FTR just like the little Bernese Mountain Dogs of Collision? Like, they see anyone getting beat up and they're like, we gotta go.
Dax has a flask of tequila tied around his knee.
Come on, Cash, we gotta get that baby face.
We gotta get him out.
Little Timmy's down the well, Cash. Not a Bernese Mountain Dog. Different dog. Okay, so then Ricky Starks and Big Bill came out, according to Manolo, and swayed the scale back to evil. Okay,
I don't know what that means. Oh,
they're bad guys.
They're more heels, sure.
Then I guess the main event on Collision was La Facción Ingobernable with FTR versus Big Bill, Ricky Starks, and Gates of Agony. I don't know why any of that's happening, but apparently La Facción Ingobernable came out and they broke up the whole melee, and then FTR went to shake hands with them like, we're all good guys here. And they were like, bitch, no. And so they're just fighting together, but they're not friends, and I don't know why they're fighting, and they did fight together later. And that's what's been going on Collision.
That sounds like I haven't watched Collision in like 10 years, but I watched it 2 weeks ago.
I know. I'm like, that's why I was like, I really need to preface to say it's not that we don't watch Collision anymore. It's that we haven't seen any of this. Meanwhile, Malakai Black is playing the Riddler for FTR, apparently, and doing riddles for them about how they care about belts too much, which is true.
Is he literally doing riddles?
Well, that's just how Manolo described it, is like he was doing riddle talkers.
Okay.
You know, Manolo, my guy. And apparently Claudio and Yuta are also over there, and they have beef with House of Black.
Sure.
I had no idea about that. Is it Yuta fighting with Hook?
Yeah.
No one around here has any focus. Like, pick one guy that you hate, and let's just hate them specifically for a while instead of spreading it around.
Tony heard us say how much we like specificity between nemeses, and he was like, they can't have that anymore. It goes straight to their little heads, and they just get drunk on it. We've got to keep them sober.
Lord.
So that's what's going on over there. Anyway, so that's just some... I don't even remember why I put any of that in there. Maybe it'll set up some stuff I'm about to say. So then on Dynamite. Oh, no, this also happened on Collision. So apparently Alex Abrahantes was cutting a promo for Penta or for the Luchas. And then Swerve Strickland interrupted, I think just to be like, I can do anything I want. I'm hot shit. And then Alex Abrahantes turned to him. He was just mad that he got interrupted. And he was like, Penta is disgusted by you for what you did to Hangman Adam Page for going into his house, because the most important thing to Penta is his family. So Penta challenges you to a fight on Dynamite. All of which is like, what in God's name is happening?
For a second there, I thought you were going to say, it's like, it's the most important thing to Penta is property rights. It's
like, wow. The castle doctrine.
Loved.
Guys, CM Punk is coming back.
He's coming back. The clues are everywhere.
The truth is out there, Scully.
It's crazy to me that A.R. Fox is just around, but not participating in the feud that he caused with Nick Wayne.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Nope. Guess what?
That's fucking nonsense.
And why is Alex Abrahantes defending Hangman, but Hangman's not allowed to defend Hangman?
Penta cares more about Hangman's family than Hangman does.
But I like that it's like Penta was disgusted. Not disgusted enough to approach you and say he wants to do something about it. He's just been talking to me about it a lot behind the scenes. And because you've disrespected me in this moment, I'm going to bring it up and he will fight you about it. But again, he wasn't so worried that he was going to do something about it independently on his own. But yeah, that actually we're here.
That would be very funny characterization of Penta and Alex Abrahantes in general. It's like, they're just shit talking like crazy. But like, if you annoy them, it's going to be like, yeah, Penta has said the meanest stuff about you actually. And if you want to make a thing of it.
Oh my God. It also is like a real vibe of, you know, like little shit talker, like big backup where on the playground where the little shit talker is like, my friend is going to beat you up so bad. And the friend is just like, I don't really want to get involved, honestly, but I guess. Anyway, so then Swerve and Penta did fight on Dynamite. Hangman was banned from ringside. Let's discuss that for a moment. Banned for what? Banned because his own home got broken into and his own bebe menaced in the crib.
That was full on crazy. I was like, what the fuck kind of company are we running here?
This is why we have workers' rights issues.
This is why Jack Perry is still banned from the show. That's
yet
the kind
another
of company
reference.
It is.
I've connected the dots.
You haven't connected shit. Okay. So Hangman, of course, if someone's banned from ringside, he did show up at ringside after Swerve won the match. He whacked Swerve with a chair. He put him through a table. He was screaming something like, you'll never get away with this, or something along those lines.
You're a dead man, I think he screamed.
That sounds more like it. And he did not cut a promo, though. But they are going to fight at Full Gear. What do you guys want to talk about here? You know?
I think that it's been interesting because it seemed like the internet and like Brian Alvarez, like people were very upset that last week Hangman was not mad enough about Swerve, even though he did basically the same thing as this week. But this week everyone was like, thank God we're finally back on track with Hangman. It was like, wasn't it basically the same? Do I not see green? Like, what's happening?
I think like people are mad that he just like did the match. And like he just showed up to work, and then
but to me that's like such normal,
that's
like just
life
dropping
under
a storyline.
Maybe
I go to my job every day, and I'm not,
and
happy
I never
about it.
Feel good.
Yeah, what it's like, I get it. I feel like it might just be one of those things where it's like, have I not been watching wrestling long ago? Because to me it was like, well, they didn't follow up on that very well, but like they haven't followed up on like a zillion things.
Anything.
And people weren't this mad about it. So it's just like, maybe they're stepping on a trope. I don't know.
To most of the internet, they just seem like it's like, this is the straw that broke the camel's back. And you're like, this one? That's the straw? That's your straw?
I guess that is kind of the vibe, is that we were like, we could actually take one more straw.
But this one this week? No.
This week took us down. Well, he was really mad. His hair was extremely greasy, which I think does communicate, like, really angry man. When the hair gets greasy, the man is mad.
He probably took his family and fled the house, and he has not been able to shower since then.
They're on the move. They're on the move.
They're on the move.
They're in a safe house. Okay. So what's been going on with the rest of the elite, you may ask? Well, I will answer. So Kenny, Don Callis, and I think Jericho did this kind of corporate synergy segment on Dynamite this week that spliced build for next week's match that is Kenny and Jericho and Big Show and Ibushi versus the Callis family with an advertisement for what I think, just based on reportage, is a Sega video game. But I actually was looking out. I was like, I'd love to know for sure. And I didn't feel like it said in there at any point, like, what we were synergizing with. So
I'm going to say this, and I think it's not the Yakuza. Like, <it's>
just- It was something like that, though, I feel like people were saying, and I was like, huh.
The whole time that they were doing it, I was like the Japanese mafia? Yeah.
It was kind of like the hits being taken out. Men in business suits were going down, I think. You're right.
I thought it looked kind of cool, like the video game integration with it in the clip.
I thought they did a good job. But in terms of selling me on something, they did not do a good job because I didn't know what was being advertised. So that's interesting. That's just a note.
Whereas when they were synergizing with Shazam, Hammer of the Gods,
I knew
what it was. Yeah.
Oh, I knew. Okay, so that happened. And then later in the show, the Young Bucks accosted Kenny and Jericho in the elite dressing room again. Matt Jackson pissed as hell, being like, we've been changing in a closet because there's no room in the dressing room because of Chris Jericho's huge head. Kenny just staring into space, just like almost the whole time, just staring into space. Jericho, what came at Matt, you know, being like, you.
Well, Kenny mumbled, you don't have to do this, which was very, I mean, I thought it was very funny, actually, but it was wild.
I mean, absolutely insane. Matt Jackson got mad at Jericho and was being like, you stepped in here and stole our glory, starting the company, blah, blah, blah. And he challenged Kenny and Jericho to a full gear match with the stipulation that if the Bucks win this match, Golden Jets is over. I don't know why when I read it that time, suddenly it was just like, we can't be calling it that. I don't think that's right, but Golden Jets is over. And if Kenny and Jericho win, then they get the Bucks' Anytime Anywhere Tag Teams Challenge that they banked at some point because we thought they were going to use it for something, but now it kind of seems like they're not. So Kenny stared into space some more. Then he called the Bucks sissy children and told them that they need to grow up, and everyone's been saying it, but maybe they just need to hear it from him, and that, of course, he and Jericho can beat them. And then Jericho, I think, sexually threatened them, basically, and was like, I'm going to beat your asses in the woodshed, which made me be like, protect yourself. Do not ever go with Chris Jericho to a second location. This man has said something so unsafe. And that's what you missed on Glee.
Woodshed. Well,
don't talk about woodsheds with me, Chris Jericho. What the fuck is happening with these storylines?
I am so mad. So mad that this is happening. Here's the thing. I am not against breaking up the Bucks and Kenny. Obviously, I love when there's inter-elite drama.
Of course.
And I don't even need the Bucks to be right. Like, there can be great shades of gray where I'm like, well, they're sort of, you know, selfish and Kenny's up, blah, blah, blah. Okay, this is the other thing. I have been on the train where I just keep being like, there has to be a reason why all these storylines are going too fast. Punk dysregulated them. Signing dysregulated them. All of that stuff dysregulated them. I've been giving them so many chances. What is the reason that we're rushing this? Like, why is this not taking 6 months? I want to see, like, them giving each other dirty looks across the ring. I want to see, like, Matt going, hey, Kenny, can I talk to you for a second? And Kenny saying, oh, sorry, I have to meet Chris Jericho. And then Matt rolling his eyes. Like, I want to see this the way the elite do it, like, why?
Yeah.
In the span of 2 weeks, Kenny is calling Matt and Nick sissies.
Sissies?
Matt is challenging them to a match? Like, are you kidding me?
It does not add up. Go ahead.
No.
It really is a huge, the pacing is the thing that's crazy. Because it's like, if this actually played out normal, like, when, I mean, Kenny even said, like, they've done this before, and it's like, yeah, you're just replaying your greatest hits a little bit, but it's like, when Kenny and Hangman were fighting the Bucks, the build-up of the tension, like, took so long, and you hit all those beats, and it's so bizarre that they, like, got the Elite back together with, like, no beats hit, and then Kenny and Ibushi reunite, but there's nothing emotional happening, and now, like, they're suddenly like, okay, last week we had some tension, this week we're at some tension, and in 2 weeks we're gonna fight. Like, it's bad. It's just bad.
Because the two times that they fought before have been spectacular, like, long roads. Like, the Ibushi, the Golden Lovers versus Young Bucks is unreal, and it, like, lasted, like, a very long time. Hangman and Kenny, unreal. Hurt your feelings really badly. I'm sorry. He's fighting with Chris Jericho over a drama that lasted 2 weeks.
And Chris Jericho is the one driving it, too. Like, he's the one who's doing all the talking, and Kenny is just standing there like a sex trafficking victim, kind of.
Kenny's thing, like, it's like, I don't understand what he is doing with his characterization right now, because the only thing that he's giving me in any scene is I'm actively dissociating. Yeah. And that is fun. I mean, I think that can be really interesting. And it's interesting to think, like, Kenny is going through something internally that at a certain point has to be externalized. And we have to get, like, if you don't get an eruption at a certain point, that's Kenny being like, I'm actually Mount Helen, baby, and it's all coming out now, then it doesn't work. And you can't know from here whether we're ever going to get that eruption. But the other thing is, just when you think about what's going on here, like, they could have been doing this for the past month and a half, at least. Mm-hmm. Like, if we say, like, they could have been doing it since WrestleDream or something. Or you do it before that, but whatever. But we haven't, because it seems like there was a different plan involving FTR, maybe, that didn't happen. And it's just like, what the fuck is going on behind the scenes that it seems like every single pay-per-view, Tony is like, I pay these men millions of dollars each, and I just don't know what the fuck to do with them. I guess, I don't know, I guess just have them fight each other? Should we just do that? Just build that for 2 weeks. Like, girls,
it's crazy.
These are your best action figures.
Well, and, like, if Kenny's dissociating, like, totally valid, but you do need little scenes backstage where Matt, like, is trying to talk to him, and Jericho, like, puts his arm around Kenny and shuffles him away, and it's like, what's going on with Kenny? Like, why is he doing this? And they just haven't been doing that at all.
Right. Or you want, like, Jericho to be, like, on purpose kind of doing stuff that echoes Don Callis.
Yes, exactly.
To be like, oh, Kenny is, like, really triggered, actually, and he's just kind of used to being in this dynamic. Mm-hmm. And so he's processing some trauma internally, and Chris Jericho's taking advantage of it. I don't know what Chris Jericho wants. I don't know what Kenny wants. I don't know what the Bucks want. Like, I think that Matt Jackson has been putting his whole pussy into, like, the past couple weeks being like, well, we got to build it, so I'm going to be really, really mad, and I'm going to be such a bitch. And I love him, and I think he is doing everything that he can, and that Nick is there. Nick is also there.
And Nick is also there. I definitely think Matt is trying his best to sell something, but, like, I just keep thinking about how much better it could be, because there is really something there with Matt. Is not mad at Kenny. Matt is mad at Hangman, but he can't yell at Hangman, and he can yell at Kenny. But Kenny,
and we haven't
won't
seen
react.
The Bucks and Hangman interact in a promo. I don't know since when, but, like, you haven't seen that either. Like, because actually Matt Jackson is pretty good at conveying, like, I am really frustrated, but I'm trying not to be, like, when your mom is mad at you.
Yeah.
He would be great at doing that in a promo. I don't think we've seen it. Sorry to cut you off, Leah.
And honestly, if they were doing it in matches, that would also be effective, but they're really not when they're out there wrestling until, like, this past, you know, last week with the Hangman running off.
And the problem is that I think a lot of this normally, and I don't think we quite would even realize it, but a lot of this was communicated on BTE. Like, a lot of this was done. A lot of this, like subtle, like, hey, like, I'm trying to get into the locker room. Where's Kenny? Oh, Jericho won't let me into the locker room. Like, that kind of stuff should be happening on BTE. And for whatever reason, they're taking a break from BTE. And I, again, like, there's the real life and the kayfabe, right? So the real life, whatever the Bucks are mad about that they don't want to do BTE anymore, I more than likely am on their side. But in kayfabe, there's a giant hole. Like, they can't, this storyline doesn't make sense if they're not doing it somewhere.
And I don't think, I think that this storyline on the, like, if we go back to, like, on the timeline that it's on, it would even be pushing it if you did have BTE, you know what I mean? Like, because it's just not how they tell stories. Like, it's not the type of storytelling that they do. It feels like they're getting told, like, this is the end game. We've got to get you guys into this configuration. How do you want to do that? And they're like, okay, well, yeah, we have, like, tools that we can use. We have, like, you know, interactions that we've done before that we can do, but it's just not the way that they usually tell stories. But you're right that usually, like, it wouldn't be as visible because we would be getting some of it on BTE. We'd be getting some more.
It's just crazy to have watch them tell a very similar story to stories they've told before and been like, you can tell this so well, and right now, for whatever reason, you are telling it real bad. And then, like, if Kenny and Jericho win and get that Anytime Anywhere tag titles championship, like, are they going to take the belts off of Ricky and Big Bill? Because that's insane. That's
One question I have is, do we have any tag teams on the roster? Do we have any actual...
We sure used to have a lot.
Teams? We used to have a ton. I haven't seen any of them recently.
No, we're just wrestling Ricky and Big Bill.
I have to comment. I have to say something.
The drama.
One of poor Leah's cats, I think Dolly, is absolutely plaguing her. And she just pulled away from the mic. And she's like Nicolas Cage in Moonstruck. Like, I lost my hand.
She won't stop jumping up. I don't know what it is that she wants, but I keep jumping her on the floor, and she just keeps jumping back up on the table. And she just gave me the most offended look, and I'm like, there's nothing up here. Leave me alone.
Just my sadness, Dolly. Just my sadness about the Elite. I'm sorry to put you on the spot. It was very cute. Yeah, I don't even know do we have any tag teams? Like, why on earth would you want Kenny and Jericho to have the tag belts? Like, I know
it does nothing. Yeah,
it does nothing. I don't think it's not because Kenny wants them. I know some people would say otherwise, but I don't think it's because Big J, the RA, wants them either. I don't think
Jericho's either of those men is for those tag
for belts. The tag team belts.
It's been Jericho's biggest dream to have the tag belts in AEW.
Jericho was the first ever world title holder, but then he didn't hold another belt until he held the ROH one recently, right?
I forgot the other ROH one.
That's not a belt collector.
That bitch don't give a shit. He's the kind of guy who's like, I don't care if you win an Oscar doesn't make you money, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm all about the Benjamins. it does not make any sense. It wouldn't make any sense for that to happen. I mean, what do you think? Like, who do you actually think is going to win this match?
I don't know. I mean, the Bucks should win it. Like, Kenny shouldn't win a third time with a non-tag partner.
With
with
someone he has no emotional connection to?
Yeah, with Big J? Just because they're both from Winnipeg? Like, come on. But, like, I don't know. Like, what is the point of having this stipulation? I mean, maybe the Bucks will win and Jericho and Kenny will have to break up, and that would be good, I guess. I don't know.
It feels very much like this match was invented to take the Bucks', like, to take that tag thing away from them. Mm-hmm. In story, because they don't want it anymore and they don't want the titles anymore.
Yeah.
But the idea of Kenny and a partner beating them a third time is like, in this way, sucks.
If it were Ibushi, if it were Hangman, if it were someone that, you know, Kenny is like in the, you know, big mech guy. And then there's two of them and they're fighting the big monsters. Jaeger suit. Jaeger's. No?
The pilot. I know what you're talking about. What is it called?
Yeah. Guillermo del Toro.
Drift compatible.
Ooh, baby.
If it you was know someone, the one.
It was someone Kenny's drift compatible with. I mean, the other thing that I just thought is it's like, it's not just the elite who are doing something, like it's like doing something weird here, because we've watched a lot of Jericho storylines too, and Jericho is constantly doing like pretty good storytelling where that he could do here, where it's like you could have literally just 2 minutes of Jericho talking over Kenny and being like, baby, it's gonna be the best in the world, just you and me. Mm-hmm. Like they deserve it. Mm-hmm. Like he isn't doing that. None of them are doing any. Nobody's doing anything.
No,
and I blame Tony. Like, I don't blame my children.
No.
I don't.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It is just like it got thrown together at the last minute, and so they're like kind of trying to make something make sense, but it doesn't. And then you're just like throwing a Kenny versus Bucks match in the trash for no reason, like with
nothing.
Well, that's
what this whole year has felt like. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, you brought Hangman back in the fold, and you did it in one of the least satisfying ways that you could do it. Oh, God. You brought Ibushi back, and you've somehow done it in a way that was really emotionally unsatisfying.
Yeah.
Oh, Kenny is at odds with the Bucks, and they're all upset, and it's going to lead to a match. But it's really nothing. Oh, okay.
God, remember when Hangman and Kenny were in the ring together at All Out 2022, right before Brawl Out, and just the two of them looking at each other in the ring, the audience was losing their minds. I was losing my mind. Anyway, that's the last time I felt happy. So.
I don't think that we as a society are ever fully going to be able to reckon with what CM Punk has taken from us.
No. No. Some are out there retconning it as we speak. I don't know. I think it's just hard. Like, these guys are just all so, like, we love the shit that they're good at doing, and it just feels like we haven't gotten to see them do it in, like, 2 years because we haven't really. I mean, in a year and a half. I don't know.
A year and a few months.
And a long time.
14 months.
And it's depressing and it sucks. Mm-hmm. And it's shitty. And that's another way to say that. Shitty, sucks, depressing. But I love him. And I do, again, want to say congratulations to Matt Jackson for saying, baby, I'm going to take what you give me and, of course, I'll act. Of course, I'm going to still win the Mommy's Little Ham Award. Like, that's not in question. I can always do that. And you did win it, Matt. You did win the Mommy's Little Ham Award for when you said that you and Nick are changing in a closet because Chris Jericho's head is too big. So, congratulations.
I did love that because I loved when Jericho was like, and to be clear, I do have my own dressing room.
That
I'm
was
just
so
not
funny.
There. I'm here making love to Kenny Omega.
I really need to see what Jericho and Kenny are doing together because I think that would really, it would help. It would help my
Well, they can't show
belief.
That on television.
Well, I think they should.
I don't know. I've seen some of the other stuff they show on television, so it would have to be pretty sick if they couldn't show it to us on TBS. I mean, one of them could be all the way in, if you know what I mean, and TBS would pretty much still usually show it. Should we move on, you think?
I think we'd have to.
Yeah, we've vented our spleens. Okay, MJF. Okay, so we're going to start with Danny Garcia fought Greg on Rampage last week and won. Afterwards, he called MJF out, and he did a little bit of that, like, sports, sports entertainer, whatever. And then MJF opened Dynamite with a video call to Adam Cole. That doesn't, I want to be clear that I'm not one of the people who's like, no funny, we love funny stuff. I mean, everyone knows that we love fucking funny, jokey stuff. I really don't understand what we're doing with Adam Cole right now because
no,
it's like,
at all.
Tony, I think his foot broke it. Like, we can't, unfortunately.
If he's out for a year, like, they should have pivoted away from the Adam Cole stuff so long ago.
We're done.
It's not, Leah, it doesn't make any sense.
Leah, can you say to our listeners what you said in our group chat during our group watch last night that then moments later, you staggered yourself say it to our listeners.
For reasons I cannot explain, I opened Mr. Laptop and typed so furiously, I'm done with Roddy Strong.
But I read it in such a cold tone, like just like you had deliberately into Mr. Laptop been like, I'm done with Roddy Strong. Guards, take him away.
And then she just immediately threaded to herself, I don't know why I said it. That's so aggro. What's going on with me?
I got possessed by somebody because I was like, that's not how I talk. That's not how I usually operate.
It's like the language of an abuser. That's not me.
Babies, that wasn't me. That wasn't me talking.
You know I you never know hurt you,
heart.
Roddy.
You know my heart.
You say this every time.
Oh, my God.
I was losing it. I was listening to One Nation Radio, and James was cracking me up when he was talking about this, where he was like, Adam Cole can't even get dressed to be on TV. He can't get dressed.
The situation going on with Adam Cole. It's like, buddy, you got to trim it up before you go on television.
He is really starting to look like one of our early, late 1800s founding fathers types. That's not when the country was founded.
Ulysses S. Grant. I don't know why.
In my mind, I'm being like, it's G.K. Chesterton. That's some author. And we just delete all of this.
There was a tweet I saw on Twitter one time where there was like a house built in 1903 in the South, and someone was like, I can't believe someone's restoring this. Like, slaves were there. And people were like, it was 1903. And they just doubled down. They were just like, you think that slaves weren't there in 1903? It's like, well,
yes, I mean, that is yeah. What I think. Oh my God. Oh, fuck. It's so good to be stupid. It feels good. That's what people aren't talking about enough. Okay. Anyway, it doesn't make sense. He does have just a scraggly ass beard, and he won't show us his clothes. And he was on a screen. Whatever. Okay. So Adam was being like, MJF, I think you should take Samoa Joe up on his offer that I can't recount right now to help with the ROH tag titles. MJF says no. Danny Garcia shows up, has a little showdown with MJF where MJF says, who am I going to be fighting today, the sports entertainer on the wrestler or the wrestler? And Danny says, you're getting the pro wrestler today. Now, this is kind of a... just a quick question for my students and my co-hosts. Do you think that that was the right moment for him to say that?
I thought you were about to say, I'm question for my stupid girls, because the way you stopped when you said stew. And I was so ready to answer you. I was like, yes, your stupid girl thinks that that should have happened in the ring, and it should have been a very consequential moment that everybody like was screaming about. Instead, it was pre-tape, and it really was said with pretty not a lot of fanfare.
It's like they're working so hard to take the air out of everything that should be meaningful lately. They're just like, how can we do this with the least effect?
It made me feel crazy, because I'm like, this to me feels like pretty standard story beat stuff, where what you want there is the moment of like angry indecision where he gives no answer because he's being like, he doesn't know and he doesn't want to talk about it. It's only later in the moment where he's trying to do the dance and then he gets shut down. That is the moment where you want that man to be like, fuck it. I am a pro wrestler, and now I'm going to act like it, and then give him the mic afterwards or something. And he says it like it should never be something that he is able to say before he demonstrates it.
Yeah. Agreed. Agreed. 1000%.
Yep. Wake up.
Yeah. And why are his sports entertainer dads stopping him from dancing and trying to make him do serious wrestling?
It doesn't add up. He does not. Daddy Magic does not want Daniel Garcia to shake MJF's hand. He doesn't want him to behave with honor. He doesn't want him to be a wrestler. Then make him dance. The dancing is the quickest way to keep him a joke. If you want your little son to stay a monkey, make him dance more. Tell him to get the backup dancers. What are we doing here?
I know it's difficult because it's like the dance, I mean, potentially, the dance is really over with the crowds. So I understand that that's what you're working with. But if your storyline is that he's like, I'm a wrestler, like not a sports entertainer, you easily could do something where it's like Daddy Magic is being like, wear a little monkey suit when you do the dance. That's even better. Like make the dance stupider and stupider. And then you could have a really fucking fun moment during a match like this where he does the dance in a way that's clearly like, it's not fucking stupid. It's cool. I'm cool. I'm a pro wrestler. And then he beats someone up really fast and really good. And that, like, it should not be that Daddy Magic is like, I don't think my child should do anything. I think he should just be in his room, I guess.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense with anybody's characters.
No. Well, and also if like you're doing this like dance thing and the like, no, don't dance. Like, why are you bringing back the pro wrestler storyline? Like, that's a good storyline, but why are you mixing it with things it doesn't go with or not making it all pull in one direction? It's like no one knows how to tell any coherent stories.
What's going on with Danny Garcia's parenting right now is a real problem, because you've got Daddy Magic who's not being consistent in his philosophy, and Jeff Parker is trying to flirt with Ruby everywhere. Why is what he just
is, he is Aren't just they horny
just shoot together like I their social media did not give me any insights, and it was
no I, mean, I was trying to Google all sorts of like terrible combinations of like, is Jeff Parker married? Has he ever been married?
Is Jeff Parker
public marriage records? Jeff Parker.
I need to call someone in the government about this. The thing is, like, I don't understand why that is ever happening on my screen. And it's not like I don't think it's like funny. Like, that's not the grounds on which I object to it. It's that I don't understand anything that's happening with this storyline. And it's like too many things are happening on TV recently. It's like the thing we talked about with Kenny and Don Callis, where we're like, the problem is that we know they're never going to fight. So that is a difficulty that we have with the storyline, is that we can't ever solve it in the ring. That also is how I feel about Jeff Parker and Ruby Soho flirting on my TV, is I'm like, well, I know I'm never going to see you in the ring about it, so I'm not sure what we're doing here.
It's very, like, it's fun when it happens, but it doesn't connect to anything. It doesn't make any sense. And it's just like, I feel like everything on Dynamite is just like, we're throwing in more ingredients in the perpetual stew. It's like a chocolate bar, a gummy bear. Like, you can't have both of them. You've got to commit to a palate.
The same basic ingredients need to go in the stew every week, Tony. It's kinds of potatoes. It's kind of onions, shallots, garlic. Same types of ingredients. You're right. No chocolate bar.
Mm-hmm. It's not right. I mean, a chocolate bar is great.
That can go on the side.
In its own time. In its
we have
own
a whole
context.
Buffet table. Why don't you put it on the buffet table and don't put it in the stew, Tony? I blame Tony for all of this.
It's 100%
feel Tony's fault. So powerful and righteous about it. I will not blame my children for what is happening. I will only blame Papa Father Tony.
My children, who have so often delighted me and I've enjoyed it until they were sabotaged by a bad man with too much money.
My children have been sat on by Tony Khan for the last time. Okay. Well, let's keep talking. So what happened here? Jay White fought Mark Briscoe. I don't think we have to get into any of that, really. Cancel Collision, I've said. This match, main event to Dynamite, Jay White won. Afterwards, MJF came out to try and recapture his belt by sneaking up on the Bang Bang Gang in the ring, but Jay White got away. MJF cut a promo basically being like, I've never been a man of the people before. I've always done stuff for myself, but now I'm fighting for all of you. Okay, fine. Whatever, we can't get into it yet. Lights out. Backstage, the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn got attacked by the Devil and his masked men. Bowens was thrown through a large pane of glass into... Let's break out a couple of the great descriptions we saw on Twitter. So I saw a terrarium for office workers. Leah, what do you have from our friend Mary?
Our friend Mary called it a punishment cubicle.
There was no door cubicle. It's there pretty was, concerning, yeah.
There was no door. That was quite funny. So MJF, horrified, races backstage to check on the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn. Apparently, and we didn't see this because we didn't see Collision, but on Saturday's 69-day Collision celebration, MJF made a video being like, I give in, I'm starting to like you, the Acclaimed / Max Caster. okay, I don't ask a lot from wrestling, and I understand that I should be satisfied with this, but I needed to see it at the end of the match last week. I did not need to see it in a video segment simply said on Collision. Yeah. I want to see actions. I don't need to hear words.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And also, like, we said it last week, I think, but, like, if MJF had always had the vibe of, like, you're so annoying, but I kind of like it, but I know, like, I'm not into it, like, it would be a much more natural transition into... Like,
absolutely. And MJF had to get, after Max Caster saved him, MJF had to get bullied by his father lover, Billy Gunn, into scissoring him. MJF should have been the one on his own to be like, fuck, he saved me.
Yeah.
I will scissor. And we should have seen a small, reluctant smile that he then wipes off his face. It is not rocket science, Tony. Mm-hmm. I'm writing this on the fly.
Watch a rom-com, Tony.
Watch
Khan.
A fucking rom-com.
Specific beats, and they're not complicated.
They really are not.
They really okay? are not. Honestly, are not.
Anyway, but apparently he had said, I'm starting to like the Acclaimed. So then he races backstage. They're lying sprawled on the floor. They've been assaulted by these masked men. MJF's face, a rictus of horror, regret. So, whoa, what has happened here? Is it because of me? He doesn't go to check on anyone. He's just kind of looking around like, oh, God, what happened? I thought to myself, I'm not trying to be a bitch. I like you, and I like what you do. I've got to sit down with you. We needed to work on this script. It's not right. This isn't right. This isn't right. This isn't right.
The thing is that we, as a podcast, are so eager to be taken on a ride.
We love it.
It doesn't take much.
I want to see men experience feelings of friendship and love towards other men. I am
friendship,
ready.
Love, sexual love, familial love, all types. All the types of love.
Put that all in a stew. But the idea that they can't take us, whose hearts are so open. It's painful.
Yeah. We'll take the smallest crumbs, like just the littlest.
Oh, we are walking wounds. It's not
many,
safe for us to be out
many
there.
Many have said, girls, close your hearts. Close we your say, heart. We can't. It's just who we are.
It's who we are.
Oh, my God. It just...
Keep your heart open and love will find its way in. That's what I've learned
that's
from
what we
and, you know what else? Germs. And that is why we
so
are
true.
So unwell. But I agree. We are your audience for this, and I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. I'm not saying I don't like any of it. I'm saying that there just are certain beats that you need to hit in a rom-com, and when you hit them, you cannot go wrong. But we have gone wrong here because we did not hit those beats because we hit different beats not at the right time.
No okay. wonder MJF's getting cut from movies.
Oh my God. I am happy that for many reasons, go SAG-AFTRA. Glad that you got that situation worked out. Glad that the strike is over. I'm happy that now I get to watch Jeremy Allen White do interviews where he talks about the beauty and artistry of wrestling. And I say, I'll kiss you on your mouth, on your mouth.
Right before we started recording, apparently he's like, in the works to be at maybe at Forbidden Door. That'd be exciting.
What?
Yeah. I saw a little tweet. I don't know if it was reputable. I sure didn't fact check it.
Forbidden Door. That's
or
so
not
long
Forbidden
from
Door.
Me.
Sorry. Full gear.
Oh my
it
God.
It starts
oh.
with an F. My God.
I was like, the movie's coming out soon.
Yeah.
That's so long. Like, dude.
I don't know what I'm saying.
Listen, Tony. Well, no, I'm not forgiving you anything. You have never been lower on my list of men, and you're all pretty low, but just kidding. Love you, men. But you would get a couple points if we got Jeremy Allen White at Full Gear.
Maybe Jeremy Allen White could run a little acting, little workshop backstage for them.
Please.
Sit them down. Just talk to them about motivation for like 10 to 20 minutes. I think you could do a lot.
A little more yes chef energy backstage.
Whew,
And also, to be honest, there are some people backstage who maybe need to get locked in the walk-in freezer for a couple hours.
Yeah, I think it could do them some good.
Could
yeah.
do them some good. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. I think we're only going to get through these topics, and that's great. Doesn't that seem cool? Like these two topics?
So. Yeah. yeah.
Cool. I love this for us. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about... I want to check in how you guys are feeling about the devil storyline. One thing that I flagged quickly before I let you speak, I want to hear from you guys, but let me talk. I just noticed when I was doing the schedule, what is the internal logic of what the devil's up to? Because he beat up Jay White, who's MJF's opponent. But now, this time he beat up the Acclaimed, who are MJF's semi-friends. And the way that people were talking about it was it's like, MJF's going to have no friends left. And it's like, and maybe no enemies, which would be good. Like, what is what's the devil up to, you know?
After you said this, because I was like, I don't know, it's crazy. But then I was like, oh, is the devil like trying to frame MJF by beating up his enemies and then beating up his friends just to like get at him too? But it's not a real really consistent strategy.
Yeah, it doesn't really work. I would like if the story was that the devil's just trying to isolate MJF. He's beating up everybody MJF speaks to. Eventually, he'll trap him in a cabin. Can't go anywhere. Keep him locked up.
And misery. Like,
I've always loved you, MJF. I was meant to be with you.
Put him in a little office worker terrarium with no door. It'll be fine in there. Little water bottle like a hamster.
Oh, my God. Okay. All I want for Christmas is MJF in the office terrarium, and there is a huge Nalgene that he's supping from on the wall. And as I describe it, it sounds pretty seedy and potentially like you would find it on kink.com. And that's not how I mean it. Like, for me, it's like one of those calendars where babies are dressed as dogs or whatever, you know?
Creepy, yes. Sexual, no. Yeah, I get it.
or the dogs that are doing human things. I'm so sorry. Who do you guys think the devil is?
CM Punk.
There were so many clues.
The truth is out there, Scully. The truth is out there.
Just because they fired him with cause does not mean they're not bringing him back.
What do I want? I want the truth, goddammit. Thank you, Fox Mulder. That man's name is Fox Mulder. Think about it. He was a 90s... Sometimes when David Duchovny, not to get off topic, but they like to give you some little like, you know, kind of sex shots of him. Like he's like had a high fever and he's getting out of bed and he's only wearing his boxers. Sure. And when I look at him, I think like, God, take me back. Because it's not that David Duchovny is not a cutie and a hottie, but his body is so normal. And I think, oh, God, to think
it's
that if a man did
he has
this
not done
now,
steroids. He just
I would have
out.
To see... abs, take them. No, get them out of here. I want to see normal, spindly bodies.
Have you
lean, regular? By the way, in that scene with the high fever and the boxers, Scully put him in her bed fully dressed, and then she must have undressed him.
Have you ever seen the teacup photos where Duchovny is fully naked and he just has a teacup over his dick?
Of course.
If that happened today, there would have to be some like, oh, it's not a teacup. I need an entire bowl.
It's a big mug.
Yeah. No. David Duchovny says, all I need is a teacup. Thank you.
God, of course the 90s weren't a perfect time. They had a lot of problems. But take us back. They were still hiring extras, as I just pointed out to you guys. There were real people in the movies, and they put a teacup over the man's dick, and he had a normal body. And I want to be clear, I don't just want to see spindly bodies. I want to see bodies of every size and shape, and I want them to be normal. And I don't want to see an ab, though.
Don't you dare bring me an ab. I don't want to see any chemical enhancement.
Don't you bring me one of those taut little six packs. I don't want to see it. Okay, what were we talking about here?
Who the devil is?
Oh, yeah. I hope it's Jack Perry. I hope it's still Jungle Jack.
I hope it is.
That's the only thing that's going to make me happy.
I know. If it's Brit, it'd be delightful, but they can't fight, so what's the point? Don't
do it. We can't do it, and it's not. And Brit, I love you. This isn't against you. but they can't fight. I hope it's Jack Perry. They did the glass thing. They are doing Full Gear is LA, right? So let's get an LA pop of some sort for the hero of my heart. And yeah, let's do it. Let's just fucking do it.
There has to be a feel-good moment considering the other hometown heroes are probably going to lose.
I can't. The idea of the Young Bucks losing to Kenny Omega and a man that he's not even drift compatible with, who is in kayfabe. I know that it's, and I love it. He's a grifter. That is Chris Jericho's kayfabe character. He's a fucking grifter. Grifters can't beat the Young Bucks at Full Gear in their hometown.
The only remaining tag team in AEW, the only one left.
I'm going to start it.
I don't think we've really addressed the fact that they've seemed really hesitant to say Golden Lovers on TV, even though like, I do think it's bad. I did hit a level of fucking outrage at the idea of that threesome tag team being called the Golden Jets and Kota Ibushi. Bitch, are you kidding me? Like, either Ibushi is in the Jets or this is nothing.
It's crazy. I know that
the way they've handled...
Well, I know I was just going to say that something that, like, I've been thinking about more because it's come up in some of our group chats is, like, what is the degree of interference that they get from the network? Like, to what degree is the network saying, like, yes, you can do this or no, don't do this? I don't know. And I'm not, like, out here trying to be, like, management is to blame for everything except for Tony Khan, who is. But it is not...
Fucking Pat Buck.
Pat Buck. Oh, my God.
I'd lay hands on him, too.
Kenny's going to start sending us coded messages through his t-shirt colors. Kenny, we'll save you. We're looking. We're watching. We see your pain.
Oh, my God. I don't even know what I was saying, just that I'm like, I agree. It's like, stop it. Just say they are the Golden Lovers. And that's important. Just say it.
It's 2023. What are we even doing?
It's the Golden Lovers and Chris Jericho. It is. It's okay. It's Golden Lovers and Chris Jericho.
Just call it the Golden Lovers in Winnipeg. And you're just...
The Golden Winnipeg the Jets, Lovers. Winnipeg is for Golden Lovers. Now that's
beautiful. And then Hangman can be there too.
Yeah. Oh, that's perfect. Okay. Yeah. Wow, and that's a great foursome. If Hangman gets in there, if Kenny wants to have Hangman, Chris Kenny Jericho as a fourth, I guess. Okay.
I do want to see the BTE skit where like they're having a foursome, and then Matt Jackson's like, "This is my fucking dressing room. Why can't I get dressed?"
Matt and Nick just kind of like stepping over them as they try to like get their headbands to put on.
I want to see Matt so bitchily opening the closet door and saying, "Come on, Nick." And Nick obediently follows. He says, "Yeah, we'll just go in that closet. That's not a problem for me." Because Nick, I love Nick's kayfabe character of, I just do what I'm told. Hey, I just do what I'm told. And if Matt ain't happy, ain't no one happy.
Yeah, because mine's a little bit sometimes like, ooh, y'all are in trouble now. Not me, though. Not me, though.
I'm good. Okay, so I feel so hurt in my heart when I think about us having to talk about this, but I guess let's just do it, and we'll just do it, okay? And we don't have to do anything more after this, okay? This is it.
So, this is our last piece of suffering.
We'll do it together.
Hey, guys, together?
Together.
We can do anything. So, speaking of Samoa Joe.
Is that the anything we can do?
Yeah. Okay. So, Samoa Joe on Dynamite fought Keith Lee. And then they did fight. And I think it ended like it was the referee called the match. But to be quite honest, I wasn't watching it closely because I didn't give a shit.
Who cares? So, our friend Aaron was there in person and said you could have heard a pin drop because no one cared about that match. And I was like, well, relatable.
Buddy. Ooh, buddy. Afterwards, Joe cut a promo where he vacated his ROH belt because he wants to focus on pursuing MJF's title, which was really funny to me. That was like, it's like someone you have like half a conversation like, oh yeah, we should do that, and then they're like, I quit my job. It's like, oh well, don't do that. I mean, keep your job. Yeah, as I've, yeah. So, yeah. So, and Samoa Joe really wants MJF's belt. And a lot of people have been really mad at MJF for reasons that I don't think your girls fully get. Because, like, last week, people were, like, so mad at MJF. And then this week, people were, like, less mad at MJF. And to me, I would say that, the like, both weeks were kind of, like, the same.
Yeah.
So, to me, it doesn't make sense. Anyway, what do you guys think about kind of Samoa Joe and... Oh, I was going to say, so people are kind of like, get that belt off MJF. And then now they're starting to be like, they're putting the belt on Samoa Joe.
I think it's going to Samoa Joe. I can't think of a single person. I mean, not like, not now. What's the one after Full Gear? Is it...
Revolution?
Oh, no, it's the new one. It's the end of the world.
Oh, the world's end, yeah.
I think Samoa Joe is getting it then.
That'd be fucking insane. I'm sorry. He's 45. He's not fun. He's not interesting. My heart has been very open, and he has never given me a reason to care about him.
I know that so many of our peers are just long-term wrestling fans, and they know him from the past, and they have love for him. That man gives us fucking nothing. As new
Absolutely
fans,
nothing.
Our open hearts have rejected him time and time again because he has rejected us.
Yeah.
He has been here 18 months. I think he's given a total of 3 promos in that time, and each time it was a very generic, I'm very mad, and I'm going to kill you until you're dead. Okay.
Yeah.
If you and gave... Like, no, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, what's one interesting thing about this man?
Yeah, there's nothing. And it's like, everybody on the internet is so mad at MJF, but the crowds are still going crazy for him, and they are not going crazy for Samoa Joe, and it's just like...
I don't understand.
But you're so you're Tony Khan. Who would you put it on? Who at this point?
Anybody
has
else?
MJF.
Literally.
Yeah, who has he not beat recently? That you can.
They fight again, and this time they beat him. Isn't that what wrestling is? I know that I sound yeah. stupid sometimes. Like, I understand that people are out there having much more nuanced conversations, and that they have like a better understanding of norms in wrestling than me. But I just don't. I do not get it. Like, this man has not done anything that would make me think, like, yes, he should be the champion, and that will give us direction, badly needed direction.
Yeah.
Like, we've got it.
What
the government has to shut
gonna...
down. We need a break.
What is Samoa Joe going to do at the top of the card to make anything?
Who's he
going to
fight?
It's
the one thing is that Sarah was saying that, like, that he will give, like, all the baby faces a chance to, like, shine for once, because MJF has been so much of, like, an attention hog. Like, when MJF's in the ring, it's really hard for anybody else to have anything. And that is a point that he's, like, you could see Samoa Joe as, like, a cracker that
I literally was about to say, are you saying that he's oatmeal? And haven't we been over this? That is it no on oatmeal?
But, like... Like, any heel would do that. That, like, Swerve would do that better than Samoa Joe.
Oh,
like,
I
don't
Swerve
have any faith. I don't have any faith either that Tony Khan or anybody is going to have, like, Samoa Joe have, oh, like, Hangman's going to get so much more screen time with Samoa Joe in there. Like, I don't see that.
Yeah. I don't fucking get it. And it's like, imagine the world that we could be in two months from now, 3 months from now, where Samoa Joe is our world champion. Kenny and Chris Jericho are our tag team champions. I'm staring into space. Probably at that point, if I had to guess, Wardlow will have the TNT belt again. That's my guess.
Yeah, probably.
I'm banking it now, because that man keeps getting to cut long promos. Why? What has that man ever done for me? What has that man ever done for me that he is now getting these long pre-shoots where he talks about how MJF ruined his life? Girl, support a union.
What if, like, Eddie Kingston was getting some time? What if there's just so many people on the roster I want to see, and Samoa Joe has just never enchanted me once. It's just like he's in the most boring category of man. Him and FTR and Ricky can all go to the bottom of the sea for all
the
I
fact
care.
That I know we can't. What we can't get away. Ricky Starks is on Twitter this week. Danny Garcia is being like, I'm fighting this match against MJF. It's for all the young guys. Like, let's take back Dynamite. Ricky says, good luck, man. I hope it ends better for you than it did for me. Bitch, you are the tag team title holder. You have had nothing but pushes for the past year. You have fought every high-level guy. You fought Brian Danielson. You have a fucking belt. Hope it ends better for you than it does for me. Ricky Starks, suck my fucking dick.
It's like, are you literally mad that, like, the crowds aren't into you? Because that's a performance issue from you, buddy.
Sounds like a skill issue. Sounds like a personal fucking problem. Yeah. Ricky, I was about to say the ungratitude. I don't know. Listen, we simply, what do I hope? No, let's each say it. What is your hope for the rest of the month? We have the rest of November. We've got a pay-per-view. What would you like to see?
The thing is that there's so many, like,
things you'd like to see that we won't see. Yeah.
I just don't. I can't even hope for anything. Like, nothing's good is going to happen to me ever again.
I feel like we took a turn somewhere, and I can see us heading into the woods, and I don't know how to get us out. Like, we'd have to reverse. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, if got to run the company, right?
Yeah.
Then I'd wipe out the feud with Wardlow. Wipe out the feud with Swerve.
Gone.
I mean, with
Samoa Joe.
Joe immediately pivot to fucking Swerve. MJF loses it to Swerve at Winter's the End of the World. And then,
okay. Winter's the End of the World. It is. Go on.
The Elite do something different. They get paid $1 million per BTE episode. They come back to BTE.
Yes, yes, yes. Tony, throw the money at it.
They come back to BTE. They tell us a different story than what we're telling. I don't know why we're telling it. We're going to stop telling that story. We're going to tell a better story.
Tony Khan is going to take a 2-week vacation and come out and declare bankruptcy. And, like, all of this is out. And we're just starting from scratch.
It's all over.
Okay. Dynamite next week starts with Matt Jackson sitting up in a hotel room going, it was a dream?
Yes.
It was all a dream?
Perfect. They're all in a snow globe. And an autistic child is holding it.
God.
I love those wishes. I just, something in the immortal words of someone who made this movie, something's gotta give. Who was in that one? Diane Keaton?
Gotta give.
In the immortal words of Diane Keaton, who probably didn't say it in the movie, something has gotta give.
I just want to feel something. I want to watch a wrestling show, and I want to feel big emotions.
Yeah. Should I make a fan vid about the past year in AEW, and it's set to Taylor Swift Out of the Woods? Mm. But we're not.
That would be fairly compelling. It would be, are we out of the woods yet? And then you just show flashes of Samoa Joe's face and FTR's faces, and it's like, wow, we are not. We're in those goddamn woods.
I hate FTR so much. It's Madeline Kahn in Clue. Flame at the side of my face. Fire. Yeah. Fire.
Yeah. It's a bad situation.
Did you guys see that Collision promo that was just Ric Flair? I mean, not hit the poster. That's just Ric Flair.
Yes.
Front center surrounded
He literally looks like he's decaying. It is not a good situation.
I think surrounded I made quite a good joke about it, Leah. I made a pretty good joke about it.
I said, when I look at this Collision picture, I wish for death. And you said?
I said, why do you wish for death when he's right there in the center of the picture?
But just, like, looking around, and it's like, next to him is FTR, around him is Big Bill and Ricky Starks. The idea that I have to be mad at Big Bill, who's done nothing except be big.
Poor Big Bill. It's like, that man has only ever done things that we praised him for and that we loved. He said, I'm Winnie the Pooh and I'm getting stuck. My butt is stuck. My knee is stuck.
He could take the belt off MJF. That would be fine.
I'd let him have any belt he wanted.
This, you know, Big Bill is like Jake Hager except a nightmare, right? Like,
oh my God,
Chris Jericho found Jake Hager and he's kept him safe and he's kept him from being treated badly by bad actors. Who has saved Bad Bill? Bad Bill? Who has saved Big
Poor
Bill?
Bad
you
Bill.
Know that movie? movie, you know that movie Mighty Joe Young, where it's like she has to protect the gorilla, and it's kind of like Jake Hager is that gorilla, and Jericho is who's the lead, like Nicole Kidman or something.
Charlize Theron?
That sounds right. Wow, she was up to some stuff. Wow.
But like, who's doing it? Who's protecting Big Bill Gorilla? Nobody.
He has literally a negligent caretaker named Richard Starks, who I think is keeping him in like a basement cell, and maybe just like feeding him cornflakes. he's a big man. He needs protein.
Oh my God, he's being kept in the torture cubicle.
Oh my, in the terrarium. There's no protein in there.
And he goes back like after Dynamite, and he looks like kind of nervous, like it's covered in glass. My terrarium's covered in glass. And Ricky says, just go to sleep.
he like can't stand up all the way in the terrarium. His head hits the ceiling. He has to crouch the whole time.
We're the only ones talking about this. We're the only ones bringing attention to this issue.
Free this Big Bill.
Should we contact PETA about this? It's controversial. No, you know, I don't love their tactics or their attitude, but all right. Is there anything else you desperately wanted to talk about?
Well, it's a real positive podcast today.
We actually did a lot better than I thought we were. I thought it was going to be way much more of a bitch.
Hey, we laughed. We went into Brian Cage's mouth.
Someone said to us this week, do you think that newer listeners know what it means when you say we go into Brian Cage's mouth? And I loved realizing that, no, maybe some of you don't.
Honestly, I don't even remember why we say it, to be honest.
I don't either.
I know you dig a hole and Brian Cage is in the hole.
Well,
his mouth is in the hole.
We talked about how when you are at the depths of despair and you think I'm at rock bottom, you just dig a hole. I think I was thinking of this horror movie called As Above, So Below. You just dig a hole, or you find a door in the bottom of the well, and you open it up, and you just come out the other side. And I don't know what Brian Cage had to do with it.
And then later, there was a dirigible, and I think that's where his mouth came into play, because I think
the
we were flying into it.
Came afterwards.
Yes,
I'll tell you guys a secret.
Yeah, tell us.
Whenever that was happening, I wasn't listening. I actually was daydreaming. And so I've been faking this for months. I was daydreaming, and when I came back, you guys were just repeating Brian Cage's mouth, Brian Cage's mouth. And so for months, I've just been like, yeah, I know what they're talking about. And then I was listening during the Hindenburg conversation.
Back to the episode.
And I was having fun. And then all of a sudden you guys were like, we're going to pilot into Brian Cage's mouth. And I had to be like, yeah, we all know what that means. Because we were all listening.
But why? We must have been, I mean, Brian Cage in the past. Now I'm like, Brian Cage is a old friend from far away. I almost love him. But at the time he was really a thorn in our side. And I think we were trying to figure out how to still feel joy when he was around. And so he did go into his mouth, but you haven't explained, Leah. So you have never listened back and you don't know why we went in there.
No.
Wow. Well, you don't listen to our
episodes, listen to our own podcast?
Sometimes while we're in it, I'm not listening.
Well, you've made that clear.
That much has become abundantly clear. Yes, you've made that clear. I can't wait to now constantly on our podcast think, I wonder if Leah's listening to me right now.
And you know what? I won't get caught because I'm very good at it.
Oh. Challenge.
I'm a dreamer.
Accepted.
I'm a dreamer. Girl, you're getting ousted. We're having a vote after this.
Next week's Tuttle Talk is going to be hosted by Ann and Allie.
End I'm going to tweet. Has anyone ever changed podcast host?
Beloved listeners, if any of you remember why we go into Brian Cage's mouth, you just let us know. On that note, I have been Allie.
I've been Ann.
And for as long as I'm allowed, I've been Leah.
We'll probably let her back next week, but only after maybe a stint in the punishment cubicle. This is Tunnel Talk. Our theme is by Chris Corkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod, Tumblr at Tunnel Talk Pod, via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. And please come back next week, because we're the family that suffers together stays together. Is going on with that man? I mean, he is giving. He's on new meds, and and you know what? That could be rough. It can be rough.
You know, and you need people to cover for you at work sometimes. Like, I had a under-medicated period where my supervisor really stepped up, and I appreciated it. And that's what Chris Jericho
can cover. Yeah, he can cover.
He's like, don't worry, Kenny. I'll talk. I'll
handle it. Kenny, don't stress yourself out. You take the time you need to just
I know your brain is just, you're pretty zonked. Like, just stand there. All you have
to do. That's okay. Big J's got it.
Big J with his big, generous heart. He's ready to be there for Kenny.
When I think about talking about Big J with his big, generous heart, and I'm spelling it with a J, generous with a J, mwah, mwah. He's the best RA you can get. Everybody on campus agrees.
Yeah.
If you have Big J as your RA, you're the luckiest bitch on that campus.
They're like, he's insane, but you're going to be taken care of. Like,
yeah.
Don't worry about that.
And it's like, in this scenario, Jake Hager is a senior and he still lives on Jericho's hall.
And it's Jericho's a freshman like, hall. He's like, yeah, that's Jake's room. He needs me.
And somehow this is a period where, like, Chris Jericho's like, Jake, shove over. Kenny needs to join you. Kenny's also a senior, but he's coming to the freshman floor. He needs this.
Jake's got a bunk bed in there. Like, there's a spare, you know, it's fine.
It's that Kenny and Jake were both on Chris Jericho's hall. The first year he was an RA, he was a sophomore. Can you be an RA as a sophomore? Yes. In this scenario, you can.
At my college, you could. Yeah.
They were on his hall that first year. It's years later now. They're both seniors. And mid-year, Jericho's like, Jake, budge up. We're getting another bed in there. I called Raz Life. We're getting another bed in. Kenny needs us, Jake. Kenny needs us.
We don't know why. Kenny won't tell us. Did he have a bad breakup? Who could say?
The Bucks keep coming by being like, bitch, we have an apartment with you. Why are you living here?
Why are you living with Jake Hager on Chris Jericho's freshman dorm floor when we literally have an off-campus apartment?
And Jericho's like, guys, you got to give him some space. Just gotta. And Kenny's like, you don't have to do this. But he just lets it happen.
No, really. It's like Kenny has, it's like auto deposit. He's still paying the rent, okay? The rent is not the issue. The Bucks are just like, what the fuck is happening?
They're like, this dorm room has cinder blocks. We have regular walls in our apartment.
It's like, Kenny, you are a second semester senior. You are about to graduate and go out into the world. And every night at 3 a.m., Danny Garcia is barfing in the hall outside your door. Why is this happening? I walk into this dorm room. Sammy Guevara is wasted taking shots in the lobby. We have to get you out of here, babe. Kenny says, you don't have to do this.
You don't have to do this.
And can I say, put this in the episode, Lee. Put it at the end. Put it after the credits.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen.
Let him hear this.
Little bonus.